The song, the title of the song, In the Shelter of His Arms. Many of you are familiar with that. It's been on my mind this week, especially last couple days. I'd like to talk to us about peace. And the words of this song, the chorus or refrain comes to my mind, or was coming to my mind, so I looked up the rest of the words. It says, there is peace in the time of trouble. There is peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace, though the world be raging, in the shelter of His arms. So, I'd like for us to consider the thought of peace this morning. And this song talks about our encounters with sorrow, with trouble, with storms, and a raging world all around us. And it seems like that we're there. It seems like that we are facing sorrows, troubles, storms, and certainly a raging world that's all around us. And this words of this song, the writer says that there's a place of peace in the midst of all of that. And so I'm interested. I'll just read all the words to the song. I'll just wait and read the chorus again at the end. But the first verse says, when my soul was disturbed with sorrow, when my heart was burdened with sin, Jesus opened His arms of mercy and tenderly took me in. There are storms that we all encounter. Do not fear, they will do you no harm. In the Lord you will find protection, in the shelter of His arms. Though the world all around be raging and it's filled with many alarms, trust in Jesus and He will keep you in the shelter of His arms. There is peace in the time of trouble. There's peace in the midst of the storm. There is peace though the world be raging in the shelter of His arms. I'm interested in the peace that's available in these types of circumstances because these things that happen to us and that's going on around us are not conducive to peace. So there's a scripture in St. John, this 14th chapter and the 27th verse, and the setting is that Jesus is speaking to His disciples after the Last Supper and before He was apprehended and taken to trial, several chapters there of His counsel to the disciples. And He says to them in verse 27 of chapter 14, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, I think we're all aware that the world is not always peaceful. And in fact, ever since the fall of mankind into a depraved state, the world has been full of distressful circumstances from the beginning of life to the end. The scripture says in another place that man born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. So we experience distress of various forms and magnitudes from very early age all the way through the end. And I don't believe Jesus left a big blanket of peace that just covers the whole earth and causes all of that to go away. Everything around us puts pressure on us to overcome those things that are negative, whether it's sorrow or disappointment. If we can be very under the weather, so to speak, when it comes to our emotions, and someone might say, cheer up. And we can have things go wrong in our finances or something, and someone can say, well, you know, give us some kind of admonition or advice on what we ought to do in with that. When we're facing these kinds of things, we're expected to be able to rise above it. When there's raging that's going on around us, doesn't matter if it's our next door neighbor or if it's a community or something that's happening abroad, there's always advice as how to cope and to deal and handle those situations. But what I found is nothing in this mortal existence equips us to meet those expectations. We might go through some routines and we might be able to implement some things that seemingly smooths things over. We can get education that helps us maybe be aware of some of the more intricate details and helps us understand how the virus works or spreads, or other people's feelings and maybe emotional scars and all of those kind of things. But the peace that we really need is a peace that'll let me lay down at night and just drift off to sleep.
Amen.
It's a peace that'll enable me to function at a much higher capacity when I'm awake. When you're distressed and worried about something and fretting over something, you don't work very well. You're not very productive. We all make mistakes on our jobs. We maybe respond in negative manners and all of that when we don't have peace in our hearts and in our spirit. So I believe that there is a peace that's available. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." But my observation is that since the time that Jesus said that, there's been a lot of disturbing things that's happened to mankind. Not just our time today, but in the history that's unfolded between when Jesus was here and now. But this song talks about not only overcoming obstacles, but having peace. And I don't know about you, but I've overcome a lot of obstacles in life by gritting my teeth, so to speak, and not really having peace that I believe God would have for us. I've kind of held my breath and kind of grumbled and fretted and made it through some things in my life. But I believe there's an option for us. We don't have to grumble and fret our way through life. I believe God has something better for us. So I looked the word peace up in the dictionary, and I found the first definition I got from Webster's dictionary seemed to really fit the thought that we have today. It says, in a general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation, applicable to society, to individuals, or to the temper of the mind. So, the phrase that stood out to me the most was, The one that says freedom from disturbance or agitation. There are times that we can keep a stiff upper lip or keep a pretty good face or front, but we can still be disturbed and agitated. And maybe it's something that we don't let those outside of the family really in on. And maybe it's something that we don't even let our other family members, we don't let our children or our spouse or our parents know that we're agitated. And maybe we do a pretty good job of hiding it. Some probably do better than others. But I don't really believe that's the peace that God would have us. There's one element where we can be peaceable and not have peace. So I know what to do to try to make a situation peaceable many times. If somebody is real agitated and animated in their verbal expressions and all of that, I know that if I start shouting back at them, it's not going to help the situation. But if I can respond in a quiet manner, if I can be calm, if I can be steady, if I can be confident in what I say, all of those things will bring peace to the setting, but it don't necessarily mean that I have the peace I'm talking about deep down. I can be really frustrated with someone else and behave in a peaceful manner. So I believe, though, that there is something that we can get a hold of that will help us to be able to have a peace. Our Sunday school lesson this morning was talking about giving space and allowing God to bring the recompense. If David would have recompensed to Saul what he had coming, I don't think anybody would have criticized David for doing what's giving Saul what he had coming. But when David was able to pull back and have a peace in his own spirit that God would resolve this in his own time, and I'm going to tell you, David waited a long time. It was a majority of 40 years that he waited for Saul to be taken out by God. He could have been a king probably much longer if he would have helped the situation, but he didn't do that. So this definition of peace makes the words of the song even more challenging, because many of us have been dealt sorrow very recently. We've encountered trouble in the form of being impacted by this virus, and at large across our nation and even across the world, we are very aware of a raging world around us. There is animosity and there's vengeance and hatred and all kinds of distressing things going on all around us. And we need to know how to have peace, because it's not going to just happen. We need to be able to know how to come to the place of having peace for ourselves. So I'd like to turn to the fourth chapter of Philippians, and we'll begin reading here in the sixth verse. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God." Verse 7, it says, "And the peace of God which passes understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So this peace that God has for us, I believe, passes the understanding of mortal mankind.
Yes, amen.
When we can have this, other people will look on and say, I don't understand.
Yes.
This don't make any sense. How can you be at peace with this situation? And it's because it passes the understanding of our human ability. We're just not there. And it doesn't matter how much we understand the details of what makes somebody feel this way or that way, or how much we understand how a virus works and whether it's viral or bacterial or all of those kind of things. There's just no way that our minds as a human can understand how someone can have peace in the midst of these kind of storms, in the midst of these kinds of upheavals that's going on all around us. The next verse, verse 8, says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So, Paul says here to the church of Philippi that God is a God of peace. He also calls this the peace of God. So there's nothing like having peace when someone else takes a hold of our trouble and says, now I've got this. I'll take care of this for you. That's what helps children to be peaceful in their times of distress when they bring their troubles to their parents. And we should be able to take our troubles to this God of peace and be able to access that peace that He has for us.
Amen.
But He tells us here how we get it. He says, He gives us a list of things that we're to think about. He said, here's a list, and you think on these things. So one of the secrets that Paul gives the church at Philippi is cultivating good thinking habits. You know, if the primary things that we think about are sorrow, trouble, storms, and the rage that's going on all around us, we'll find it difficult to have the peace of God.
Amen.
It's also noteworthy that Paul calls it the peace of God. It's only a peace that God can give.
Yeah.
It passes understanding. People look on and say, I don't get it. It's the only thing that will enable us to have a peace in the midst of these kind of storms. But there's really more to it than that. If we could teach good thinking habits, and I think we should, if someone is dwelling on negative things, and they're coming to me to ask what they ought to do, I'm going to tell them to stop it. You know, you need to quit dwelling on your misfortunes. You need to quit dwelling on bad decisions. You need to quit dwelling on what someone said or what someone did. You're just going to have to leave it. There's nothing. It's done. It's the past now. So, but there's more to it than just knowing how to think positive. You know, there's more to this peace than positive thinking, because positive thinking won't bring this kind of peace.
No.
It'll help maybe put us in the frame of mind a better frame of mind, but it will not bring this kind of peace that we're talking about. And we can't set up some kind of hotline or chat or whatever they do on the internet and staff it 24/7 with professional help for people that's thinking bad thoughts. Maybe you can divert, and maybe it can be a little bit of assistance. But the reality is that good habits and professional help will never give us real peace or the real peace of God. So I'd like to go back now to that 14th chapter of John and read some more. This is the setting where Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." I'd like to begin reading in verse 22. It says, "Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world?" So this is a caveat or a precursor to everything that Jesus said. Is he, in the next little bit that we're going to read, Jesus was responding to the question of how are you going to, Judas was asking him, Lord, how is it that you're going to make your presence or your person manifest to us and not to the world? How's it going to be? So Jesus answered and said unto them, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." So the first point is, if you want a real relationship with Lord, then there's a responsibility for us. We have to keep his words. And he says, my Father will love him. There is going to be a guaranteed response. I want to have a positive return on anything that I put into life. I mean, all of us do. We want to get the correct retribution or response. He says, my Father will love him if you'll keep my words. And he will come unto him and make our abode with him. So here's one of the inside things to get to understand. To respond to Judas's question, he said, Jesus said, we're going to come, the Father and I, we're going to come and make our abode. Our abode, more than one person of the Godhead, is going to make our abode with him. All right? The next verse says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So Jesus said, here's where the divide is going to start to begin happening. You want to know, Judas, how is it that I'll make myself manifest unto me, to you? Here's how it's going to start happening. If you love me and you keep my commandments, my words, we're going to come in and we're going to dwell with you. But he that don't do that, he's not going to keep the word. And he says, the words that I tell you is not just me. It's the Father. And when a minister is preaching the word, it's not his idea, it's God's word. So these things, he says in verse 25, have I spoken to you, being yet present with you. I'm telling you, I'm here right now in the flesh. But he says in verse 26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the Holy Ghost, that's part of the Godhead, along with the Father and the Son. It says, whom the Father will send in His name. So we got evidence of all three here. The Holy Ghost, the Father, and Christ. He will teach you all things and will bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. And then He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Where did Jesus have the peace? It was because He was the manifestation of this Holy Ghost, of this Holy Spirit. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, not because you understand all of the intricacies of what makes the bad things or what you ought to do to fix the bad things. But He said, it's beyond that. He says, this peace I give unto you, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, you might believe. As a young person, probably all of us have heard someone tell us, I told you so. And this is, Jesus is kind of saying that, I'm telling you so that when I'm gone and you are introduced to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, you'll understand what I'm talking about. And so it's so hard for us today. We want to have peace on our terms. But in reality, peace comes on God's terms. When I can relax and know that it's in God's hands, and if He allows me to suffer for a while, you know, David went through a long period of waiting, of qualifying. And now we feel like we want peace and we want it now. We don't want it a decade from now.
Yes.
We want peace now. And many times we're not willing to find our peace. It may not look like peace on the surface. It didn't look like David was really king on the surface. But the peace of God is only manifested to those that truly give their hearts and lives to God. If we're still trying to arm wrestle our problems for peace, you know, a young fella comes, one of the fellas that comes to mow the grass at the shop, he's, well, some of you know him, some of you don't. He works for Brother Kent, and he comes up, and he's always wanting to do something kind of silly, I guess you might say, but he's wanting to arm wrestle me. He always wanting to, you know, it's just a game that he likes to play. You know, the enemy would like for us to feel like that, you know, if we could just arm wrestle the opposition, we could come to peace. We could come to grips with this. But that's not how it's going to happen. We're going to have to allow the peace of God to overrule, our situation. So when God, the Creator, comes and takes up His abode with us, as an individual, and takes up his residence in us with His Holy Spirit, that's the only way we can have this peace. We can hear somebody else talk about it. We can hear it explained, But unless we're willing to come to the place that we really surrender to the Lord and say, Lord, I want that peace. I don't want to try to just figure it out on my own, but I want the peace of God which passes understanding, not just good thinking habits, not just knowing the right people to talk to when I'm having trouble, but I need a peace. I need a secret to having peace in the midst of sorrow, in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the storms, in the midst of the rage. It's ultimately going to come into the sanctified experience with God. That's the only place we're really going to get it. This is why the scripture says to us in Hebrews 6:1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. I want to challenge us today that if we're not having the level of peace that we really want and that we really need, that this is the only avenue I know. As a man, I'm willing to try to listen and give the best input that I know how to give in a person's troubles and problems. But I can't give you this peace. It's not mine to give. It's only God that can give us the peace that passes understanding. So I want to encourage us. I want to challenge us today to, if you haven't really surrendered and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, it's beyond me. I need, and the devil wants to come back. I know what it's like to have my peace disturbed. We have a song that says, nothing can my peace disturb, free and happy as a bird. I'm going to tell you, I don't always feel that way. There's things that come up and pokes its ugly head in my face, in my life, and I feel my peace is disturbed during that. And I know what it's like to not be able to go to sleep. And I know what it's like to be annoyed and frustrated with circumstances and with people and developments and be worried because you don't know how the thing is going to turn out. I know what that feels like, but I really believe that God has a peace for us. And although something may present itself and seem to snatch our peace away, I believe when we take it to God and surrender it to Him, He can give us a peace that passes the understanding and the comprehension of those around us. So I desire your prayers that I will be able to put into practice the message today. And I want to encourage each one that if you're holding out and not truly surrendering your heart and life to the Lord, there is a place of receiving the Holy Spirit to come and rule and reign in your hearts and lives today. May the Lord help us all. Amen.